Livewire with Jason Moyle.
Hello, my name is Jason and this is Livewire, and I'm very pleased to say that today on Livewire we have singer-songwriter Eddie London from the band China Crisis.
Nice to be speaking to you, Jason, and hello to all your listeners.
Thank you, and it was great talking to you as well. And we're going to be talking about your tour, which you're doing at the moment. Also, we'll be talking about the 40th anniversary live album that you've got coming out as well, which is out later in the year, I believe.
Actually, what we're doing, part of the 40th anniversary tour, one of the shows was recorded and filmed at Liverpool Philharmonic, obviously being our hometown. And that's the thing that will come out later in the year. It'll be a live DVD with the live recordings and that from that show.
That's brilliant.
Which is great because, I mean, people will get an opportunity to hear songs that we very, very seldom play.
Absolutely.
You know, it's got a huge band of 15 or more musicians. We had string players, horn players. So very different than what we usually do, but a very special occasion indeed. Yeah,
indeed. And as you said, you've got quite an extensive back catalogue. A lot of people obviously know you from your hit records, of course is Wishful Thinking Christian and Black Man Ray, as well as King in a Catholic Style. So tell us a little bit about how it all started for you back in the, because it was 79 you started, you formed.
It was actually, I think that's when we just finished school at that point. Me and Gary went to the same school in Kirby, which was, which believe it or not, was the biggest, it was a Roman Catholic school, and it was the biggest all boys, all male school in Europe, 2,600 all boys. So you can imagine. So me and Gary met there, and we had, as you can imagine, in Liverpool, Kirby, the place it was either very musical or very sporty in them days, and probably still is now. But we met through our love of music, and quickly after that, you know, started writing songs together and playing together. But the band actually, China Crisis, wasn't China Crisis in 79. I think that's when we just first started playing music together. We never actually probably got going as China Crisis till 81. And then the first record being out in 82, which obviously makes it the anniversary year. Hence the 14 years, yeah.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your style, because your style was very much, it was new wave and synth, but it was very much different to what was out there, which made you quite unique.
Yeah, I mean, as with most bands, you know, you start off kind of, I mean, when people first start off, they try and imitate the way the people they like. And we were very influenced by like the Talking Heads and a lot of electronic music, Brian Eno and that kind of thing. So, and we weren't a big band as such. It was only me and Gary. We were mainly songwriters. So we used what tools I think were available at the time, you know. So we'd use a lot of synthesizers. I played guitar. Gary played bass guitar. We would use drum machines. So we kind of, I think we, if you were going to push us into any category in the early days, we were considered like an electronic group, like many of our peers were at the time. Obviously, the more it went on, you know, the more records we made, the bigger the band got, because we were performing and playing a lot live. We were getting to work with great producers like Walter Beck from Steely Dan. We did a couple of albums with him, Mike Arlett, and we became a much more organic touring band as well, which kind of reflected in the songwriting in a way as well, because we tend to drift away from the traditional solely electronic music, and we'd use more instrumentation. So we'd be using horns and we'd be using strings and we'd be using more guitars and we'd be using live drums. And obviously with the integration of all them instruments and everything, the sound progressed. So you're quite right that there was an actual progression, you know, between the first two albums, I'd say, and probably a huge leap to the third album when we went to work with Walter Becker. And so forth, you know, we just carried on progressing, really.
I've got to say that I'm obviously listening to your top 10 hits, the records, but the Wishful Thinking has got an amazing riff to it, hasn't it? And when you hear the actual beginning part of it, you know what the song is, and it's stood the test of time.
Yeah, I think many of our records have stood the test of time. But yeah, I mean, Mike Harley, who produced that record, you've got to realise, he people probably won't know his name out there, but Mike Harley was responsible for much of the big backdrop of 80s music. He produced OMD, he produced Tears for Fears, he produced Flock of Seagulls, he produced us. So a lot of the sounds that people were listening to in the 80s was a lot of Mike Harlett's, you know, production that was out there. He was a big shaper of 80s and electronica sounds, I'd say. And we did Wishful Thinking. He recorded the album Working with Fire and Steel with us, which Wishful Thinking was on. Yeah, and, you know, great times working with him. But he produced many, you know, great songs from that era. You know, Souvenir from OMD. I think some of the stuff he did, you know, as you quite rightly say, is very recognisable and very, very moulded within that time frame, I think.
Now, you mentioned that you shared the songwriting duties with Gary. So what made the kind of songs, what kind of influenced you into creating the songs that you did?
Just basically from a pair of us from a songwriting background. More so, on the first two albums, we'd sit in the same room, really, and write together. We had, like, a studio base where most of the songs were done. Literally, the pair of us in a room. By the time we got to the third album, with a lot of touring and everything else involved, I think the songs became more separate in a way, where Gary would come up with ideas at his house or whatever, and I'd come up with ideas at my house. You know, whether Gary was doing Black Man Ray or I was doing You to Cut Me or Bigger the Punch or whatever it might be. And then we get together and we kind of finish them off that way. And it's been pretty much the same ever since, really. But in the early days, it was very much like going to work, where we would go on a songwriting session. You know, we'd go to the studio, basically, to write the songs. Actually, we did that a bit later on as well with some of the band members with the What Price Paradise and things like that. So, yeah, you know, different ways for when whatever the mood takes us, I suppose. Yeah.
So let's talk about your anniversary tour now, because I believe it's going on until April, end of April.
It is. I mean, there'll be lots of shows in between where it won't be as big a production as this. I mean, as you can imagine, this day and age and post-COVID and everyone is virtually out on tour at the moment. You know, they're actually very tough times now, because people can only budget for so many shows that they that they go to in a year or whatever, or one a month or whatever. But at the moment, virtually, with all the shows that were postponed through the COVID period, everyone has gone out on tour. And people are finding themselves going to, you know, 3 or 4 shows a week, which is, you know, very, very expensive for families and for couples or whatever. So, but anyway, it's going ahead, nevertheless. It's a big band. It differs from what we do on the normal China Crisis shows because of the bigger production. They can be anywhere to, like, 10 people on stage with us at any one time now. The venues are... you know, nice venues, I'd say. You know, I mean, we love, like, you know, the Stables and that round Milton Keynes and Bushall and Liverpool Philharmonic. And I mean, these venues are, they're iconic venues, you know. So it's great to get out and play these places.
Definitely, definitely. And of course, the Liverpool Philharmonic is where you're going to be recording your live album.
And DVD, there. Yes.
Yeah, DVD. Yeah. So that's going to be, as you said, that's going to be amazing, because it's going to have a whole orchestra backing as well, isn't it?
Not so much an orchestra, but you're not far wrong. It's got the horn players, it's got the string players, but I wouldn't say it's as big as a full orchestra, but But nevertheless, it was still a very big production to do, yeah.
Brilliant.
And it was great fun. It's great fun doing that.
Okay. And, of course, you also teach songwriting at the Liverpool Institute as well for performing arts.
Yeah, not as much as what I used to do. I used to be there quite a lot, but the band is obviously my first priority. And we have a huge schedule to make up that, you know, that got postponed from through the COVID crisis. So literally till 2023, we are so busy touring. Okay. And we have to go to the States and Australia and New Zealand and Canada and still all the UK stuff. So although I still am teaching there at Lipper, it's reserved to basically two mornings a week now. But I used to be in there all the time. I used to be in there 5 days a week. But I love doing it, and it's great. Some of the kids are fantastic writers. And, you know, and again, a fully international school with people coming from all over the world. So many different genres of writing and all that. And it's exciting to do, yeah.
Absolutely. So after this tour, and as you said, you've got lots of touring up until 2023. Will there be time to go back into the studio and do some new material as well?
Possibly. We're talking about it because we've got ideas. Don't want to give much away. First of all, there will be the DVD and, you know, the live thing that you're saying. But we will be working on other stuff. We're working on, like, a classic album, maybe for the end of the year. And that might involve maybe a couple of new tracks or whatever on it. So it's just finding the time. As you can imagine now, Jason, it's like everything's in full swing at the moment.
Definitely.
And our whole motivation and old drive is all around the live stuff and getting this DVD together and getting the classic album together. So there's a lot going on at the moment.
When is the DVD and the album out? Is it, as I said, later in the year? Is it looking at autumn time, or is that around that time?
It shouldn't really be that long, Jason, because probably a month, because it's in editing and mixing stage now. And then I suppose it'll just be down to getting some artwork and manufacturing. So I'd imagine somewhere between the next 2 and 3 months.
Okay, brilliant, brilliant. Have you got website and social media?
We have the China Crisis Facebooky pages.
Okay, well, that's been brilliant talking to you, Eddie, and good luck with the tour, good luck with the album and the DVD when it comes out, and I'm sure we'll probably see a lot more of you this year and next.
Thank you very much, my good man, Jason. Pleasure speaking to you and keeping your listeners up to date. Thank you.
Makes it all worth it. way he stands makes it all worthwhile. And if I wish to stop it all, and if I wish to comfort the fall, and if I wish to stop it all,
LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.